This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
For Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Unafeared. No fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock of the Free Talk Live Network. You know, that was one thing, when I first started doing radio in 03, Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and they go, well, I want to declare my independence, but I got to declare my independence with you, and I'm going, good point. Thank you for bringing that up. That was very good. You are learning. Yeah. Of course, you declare your own independence on your own, all by yourself. You go like, this is how you do it. You're ready. This is how you do it. I declare my independence. See how easy it was? I didn't even need a government form. I mean, it's a state of mind. It's a way of thinking. And of this whole conversation and talking about what's going on in the Netherlands and taking the Dutch farmers' land, for them to early on immediately recognize what was going on and start resisting early on, that is of interest. If I knew what that secret sauce was and how we could, you know, get that people, oh, hell no, right off on the bat and mass protesting and tractors in the streets and so on, I'd want to know that. What do you think it was? Were they already keen to this with the European Union stuff coming and the limits and Ugandas and can'ts? And they go, yeah, we know what they're going to do. And then when they started saying they're going to do it, they sprung in the action. And how organized are the farmers and ranchers and such in Holland? Are they all one party, one group, one mind? They got a leader? How does that work?
Well, in response to that announcement of Geert de Groot in 2019, there was a farmers' party formed called BBB. And then, two groups formed. One was called Agressie, and another was Farmers' Defense Force. So one was Farmers Defense Force is more hardline, that this is total nonsense what the government is saying.
Hardline, I like hardline.
The other group is a little more middle of the road, saying, well, we acknowledge nitrogen might be a problem, maybe we did go a little too far, but like your policies are too much.
Yeah, they were talking about nitrogen of the urine of the cows and then how it's going to affect the other side of the mountain thing or something. I mean, it was just weird stuff. We're talking with James Patrick. James Patrick is a documentary filmmaker. His first one was Planet Lockdown, which was on the lockdown and the pandemic and stuff. But talked to a lot of experienced and accredited individuals that had an opinion that he shared with the world. But then the Dutch farmer thing, you know, came up, and he just, woo, gotta go talk to some Dutch farmers, and it's Nitrogen 2000. Nitrogen 2000 is the name of the movie. Nitrogen 2000, The Dutch Farmers' Struggle. Now, you can find his stuff over on bigpicture.watch, which is also, you know, a crowdsource funding to keep James Patrick in Cheerios or whatever to go keep doing this, you know? Yeah, I wouldn't recommend Cheerios. But, you know, but to be able to make these kinds of films. And
yeah.
One thing that I'm interested in, though, is when you made this transition to this subject, what sparked it? What happened?
Well, I had a 5-minute section in Planet Lockdown on how kids were harmed by the whole. That was the sickest thing as far as the COVID measures, was how they abused children and really psychologically terrorized and tormented and manipulated and brainwashed children to be in a constant state of fear, and how much damage that was obviously going to wreak on their psyches. So I did, there was a great 5-minute section on that. you can find just that little section on Rumble and stuff called, you know, what happened to our, what is this doing to our children? And then, so I saw Layla Sentner speak in Acapulco and was like, hey, you know, maybe the whole film just focusing on the kids would be cool. And then, I talked to her about it and kind of started doing that film. Now that's sort of broadening a little bit, to be how school is social engineering. I'm going to break it into three episodes. School is social engineering, how the COVID measures like ratcheted up this psychological conditioning of children. And then a third final episode on how the training issue is just screwing them up irreparably.
Yeah, that is, you know, my thought process is that which cannot continue won't. It just can't.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, it was stupid.
The training
from the
thing
beginning.
Is the weirdest thing ever.
The what?
The transsexual bonanza.
Yeah.
How can they make kids believe that something that's so off is acceptable? And normalizing of psychosis when it's like very plain and obvious. I walk around the street, see trainee kids. They all look hopelessly depressed and screwed up. None of them look healthy. They got these grimaces in their face. They're angry. They've been through a sort of Marxist boot camp of like hating on their own genitals. I mean, it's the creepiest damn thing I've ever seen. So
it's not going to continue, but it was the lasting ratcheting impact was what? I mean, you know, they're getting them to, you know, sterilize themselves so they don't procreate, you know, to hate human beings as carbon emitting, you know, scum. I mean, I'm wondering the long term benefit of them doing this with distraction from something else, you know, taking your land. I mean, you know, there's some benefit, you know, to they, them, those for doing this. I just can't imagine what it is other than they get their numbers or something. What?
Well, I think having studied I studied a little bit of mind control and social engineering conditioning, and really the main thing to control someone is to break their identity, break their sense of self. So
family, church, community.
So those are all already trash, right? The wrecking ball is already completely swung through those institutions.
Well,
so
now you showed me this graph. You know, explain that to the audience.
So, just to finish the idea. So the even more basic than those institutions are like someone's own understanding or someone's own identity of their own sexuality. Of a man as a man or a woman. So if you can confuse that and get inside the person's psyche, then you really have compromised and destroyed the individual to the point that they don't even know who they are. And that's the kind of defining quality of all this training stuff, is that they're confusing the living hell out of these out of people. So they don't even know whether their genitals are the right ones. And if you get someone in a state like that, I mean, they're completely a gimp for whatever you want to throw at them. They will not have the mental patience or fortitude to critically analyze any other significant idea in the world. I mean, if they're so screwed up, they don't even know what their own gender is, what their own sexuality is.
I went through, when this first really started getting going, you know, we do a lot of shows on culture, and you could see how first they infiltrate any kind of media, certainly the young people, and it started with comic books. And one of my co-hosts that I do a show with, Dr. Frank Tamburi, he was, you know, really sensitive to this because he's a big comic book guy, pop culture. He's got, you know, all the Star Wars posters signed by the actor kind of guy. You know, he'll send it off to Australia to get a signature of something, you know. And so he's a big movie buff, and he could see the infiltration. They were coming in to make, you know, Batman and Robin, Robin's now gay, you know. You know, Spider-Man's black, you know, Superman's turning a woman, Captain Marvel's a woman. You have, you know, it was, you know, I, oh, this is the one that really, I mean, damn. DC Comics had, you know, and here it comes, because it starts with the comic books, and you start seeing these new, you know, movie releases, is that Superman was captured and put in a kryptonite cell of whatever the hell, and was being raped every day. The straight white man, Justice American way, or rape Superman. And Batman's got to go save him.
Sorry, Superman was getting raped?
Superman. Daily rape. In the comic book. Yeah, get that son of a bitch. I mean, you know, this. I'm like, wow, that's that bad? Then they changed it to Truth, Justice, and a Better Tomorrow. That's the new slogan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A Better Tomorrow.
Well, there was a really good documentary recently by Epoch Times on the gender issue. And they talked of, I think, four or five, you know, recovering lunatics, recovering, like, traumatized people. And,
yeah.
And this is girls, and they're like, oh, you know, only after I got deprogrammed from this gender ideology stuff. Yeah, it's very cult-like. Like, actually, I have a Telegram channel, Big Picture of James Patrick. I think it's just at Planet Lockdown. But they have, I'll repost it again today. There's a great college student film from the late 90s called How to Be a Cult Leader. If you go on YouTube, you can find it too. How to Be a Cult Leader. It's like 10 minutes. And it really sums up all the techniques that cults use. And you'll start to notice them in all these things. Like, you know, love bomb people, isolate them from their family, feed them low protein food. God, this retarded ecstatic dance thing, you know, and all these hippies do this ecstatic dance crap. That's like, it's the mindless childlike movements that put the person regressed into childhood.
Oh,
see, this unthinking state of receptivity, you know?
You know, that rings a bell when you said the protein thing, low protein.
Yeah, the feeding, taking away the meat in the diet and feeding people vegan.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some health. There's something to say for a high vegetable diet, you know?
You need some animal fat. I mean, you know, for the brain that we have, it's 30% of our calories. That's what gave us that we're not sitting around like gorillas, you know, chomping all the time on stuff. I mean, you know, we need to have, you know, dense caloric intake just to power our brain. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a thing. There was a TV show it was about the future. It's kind of like Idiocracy, you know, but he, in the 70s, actor John Saxon, you know, he was kind of like your Russell Crowe now or something back in the 70s. And he was in a television series that was about, he was suspended animation. A couple hundred years later, he comes back and yada, yada. Well, there was this one matriarchal society that, you know, in the valley of whatever the women ruled. And how they did it, you know, mm-hmm. they had, you know, some chemical, you know, they keep them, you know, there are plow horses, you know, they do what we want kind of deal. And the focus was they ate gruel. Their food source was this, you know, I don't know, some gruel that they had, and they weren't allowed protein. You know, this was the one thing that was, back in the 70s, they're thinking this way, that if you have this kind of diet, but where did that come from? It's what they were doing in the concentration camps. It's what they were doing in a lot of these totalitarian governments, is that if you took animal protein out and you gave them the bugs, or I don't know where the heck they're going to be eating, that, you know, the grain gruel oatmeal of something, yeah, you can keep them alive, you know, but they're not going to have the type of mental fortitude and energy to resist.
Yeah.
And they didn't want them to be able to resist.
Yeah.
So this is a tactic. This is a, you know, science. But they're just throwing everything at the wall.
Yeah.
You know, we got to do the, what was the impossible meat? I mean, you know,
impossible burger.
Yeah, impossible burger or possible, I'm going to eat it. But the, you know, thing, you know, you would think I'd try anything once, twice if I like it, you know, kind of thing. And I just, you know, I don't even have any, the gumption to even experiment with their lab grown, processed out of a stainless steel vat of that crap. You know, it's just on its face dumb. For the same reason, I choose not to inject myself with their crap. You know, I'm just like, you know, are you anti-vaccine? Yeah, pretty much. You know, I mean, a lot of people will say, well, I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm just anti this one. Or even for now, of course, we focused on we did the Love Bus Liberty tour around the country for the last few years. It was very focused on mandates. You know, the fact that they would make you take this stuff, make you eat this, deny you access to that kind of thing. It's the force. You got to find the gun in the room. Where's the force? Well, this whole transition in the last several years has been all about force. And if they, but they started, they prepped it with people being of the mind that you should force people. This is better for humanity if, and you got to force them to what? Well, I voluntarily sterilize myself because I love humanity.
I love the planet, right?
And we got to save the planet and sterilize everybody. And I'm just, this is, it's going to progress to that. I mean, you can see it coming. So just like the Dutch farmers, they're going, oh, you want to think, okay, I see where this is going. Hell no. And we're going to have that planet awareness of what you discovered in your film, Nitrogen 2000, you know, the Dutch farmer struggle, is that we realize we're under attack. There is a conscious laser focus on something. Is it the middle class? Is it the capability of the individual, of cultures? And they see, you know, the power is against them is what? Faith in God? Prayer? You know, community? Going to church? You know, homeschooling your children? Something is, they're attacking. Like, it's like all of that. It's a full spectrum dominance coming after your freaking not allowed thing.
Yeah.
You know, so give your opinion on that. What can we expect in the future? Because you're going to Ireland. You're going to be talking about, we hooked you up with some people we know there that while you're doing a presentation. Tell me about what you're doing in Ireland.
Yeah, so they've announced in Ireland they want to get rid of 20% of their cattle. And then when the environmental minister was asked, are they going to look at nationalizing the land after they kill their cows? And then he said, oh, we won't rule that out. So it looks like the exact same policy. They're saying it's carbon dioxide, it's nitrogen is the rationale. And so it's just...
Okay, carbon dioxide makes up a fraction of 1% of nothing of the atmosphere. I'm shocked it's that low, to be honest. You know, I was thinking it'd be, you know, the plants are like, humans make a little bit more carbon dioxide. Thank you. Well, I mean, you know, some, but and our man-made is so infantile. Our atmosphere is 3/4 nitrogen. I mean, we're breathing it. I mean, I'm a nitrogen sucking in and out. And
well, yeah, we're made of, life is on Earth is made of carbon dioxide. We're carbon-based life forms. So
so you should not kill yourself.
Yeah, they're calling it pollution. then logically, we're pollution. We should be getting rid of. So, but then there are in the climate change argument, they're really arguing that the greenhouse effect will cause sort of, if we increase these greenhouse gases, we'll see this heated planet. Now, that didn't happen, so then they say climate change. But just digging into the...
Ice age when I was a kid in the 70s, we were all going to freeze to death.
Yeah.
That keeps changing.
But so they were saying that... But they're being deceptive about it because 95% of the... If you look at the top, the greenhouse gases... The biggest one is water vapor, and that makes up 95% of the greenhouse effect. So most of the time when they show these graphs of the greenhouse gases, they just omit water vapor, which is the number one greenhouse gas. Then the remaining 5% is like carbon dioxide, I think is like 3, and then there's like methane and a few other trace ones. So of the carbon dioxide component, man's contribution to that is like less than 5%. So it's like a few percentage points of a few percentage points, which is like a fraction of a percent of the greenhouse effect. Man's contribution to the overall greenhouse effect is like fractions of a percent. So
yeah, we were looking it up at lunch yesterday or day before, and it was like point nothing percent, though whatever, you know. Now you're talking about when they say of the greenhouse gases, it's even a percent or two or three or whatever.
Yeah.
But of the atmosphere, it's like nothing. You know, I was shocked it was that low. I didn't, and that we would. It's a lie. This whole thing is a lie.
It's a total lie. Yeah.
And the doctor, the scientist, and you know some of the officials that you were talking to, there are a couple of them kind of stuck out in Holland. One was a member of parliament that in his Dutch mansion windmill kind of standing there how, you know, everybody should not and you can't, we're going to take and proud of it and put me on the money or something. I mean, this guy was, man, he was slinging it, you know. And then you had the one of the experts that you had on. What was the argument that you think the best argument both sides had? I mean, I was not, it was not convincing. You know, you got, I mean, I'm, give you props, man. You interviewed the head guy and wants to tell you what the, what's what and the opposition to that. But the, is there anything convincing that they say any of their argument? Well, I mean, it was, may have been a bias, you know, in the film that, you know, well, you were using their own propaganda stuff. Them coming out in the films and the shorts and the clips that they were doing was just so foolish. What is their best argument?
The government's the best argument?
Well, the advocates for taking the land and nitrogen and whatever. You know, give, so give me their best argument.
They're arguing that on the Nature 2000 areas, they want to protect biodiversity. So the Nature 2000 areas, these nature park designations in the EU, and in most countries, they're concentrated in these big forest areas, like the Black Forest in Germany. But Holland's so developed, 500 years ago, they cut down all the trees, and it's just farms. So they had to just arbitrarily designate 100 and... I think it's 180 sites, but in 180 like random fields and sand dunes and shit, they just declared them nature area, and they're like people's private property, so that dramatically restricts them. And then
I kept hearing sand dunes a lot. There's a lot of sand dunes in Amsterdam.
Yeah, in the north western part of Holland, there's
we
a
gotta
lot
save the sand dunes.
Yeah, there's a lot of sand dunes on the coastal part.
Oh, okay.
So they're arguing that on these Nature 2000 areas where there's not many trees because they were cut down to develop it centuries ago, they're saying, well, we don't want forests growing back. We, in the name of, quote, biodiversity, they use these taglines a lot, biodiversity, they want to protect 10 small plants, like orchids, that don't grow very high. So out of 150 common plants in Holland, they arbitrarily selected 10 or 12 that are low nitrogen consuming that only grow up to like a foot high. And they just arbitrarily designate those of common non-endangered plants. They just cherry picked and won. And then they say, okay, well, if the land gets too much nitrogen, i.e. fertilizer, like a nettle, which will grow 1 meter high, will give shade to an orchid, and therefore they say damaged biodiversity. But they're arbitrarily selecting which plants they want. So it's like they're basically gardening. They're basically saying we want to garden little plants on these nature-designated areas, arbitrarily little ones, not bigger ones. Whereas, like, most people think, if you rewilded nature, you didn't disturb it, you let it go back to the wild, just bigger plants and even trees would grow back, and you get a forest again eventually. But they're arbitrarily saying, no, we don't want a forest, we don't want rewilding, we want just little plants. So it's completely arbitrary. And that's and therefore we want to bankrupt half.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA News Update. Extreme heat is baking the Southwest USA today. Mark Mayfield has the latest.
Forecasters in Phoenix say Saturday was the hottest day of the year for the city, which hit 118 degrees at Sky Harbor International Airport. In California, Death Valley topped out at over 120 degrees. The heat is expected to continue this week as a high-pressure dome from Texas moves westward.
The unidentified suspect accused of fatally shooting four people in Georgia has been killed following a manhunt. Authorities made the announcement yesterday saying the monster is dead. Law enforcement tracked down the man to a location in the area and exchanged gunfire with him twice before he was, quote, neutralized, end quote. The suspect had been accused of killing three men and a woman Saturday in Hampton. That's about 30 miles south of Atlanta. In Sunday's update, police mentioned that multiple police officers were injured. Lance Pry, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. We're finishing our conversation up with James Patrick. He's a filmmaker. Just finished a documentary, Nitrogen 2000, The Dutch Farmer's Struggle. And it's just a lot is being learned from this conversation. Let's continue.
And therefore, we want to bankrupt half of our farmers? And then they came.
Yeah, they do.
And then they came out with all these kooky computer models that say, well, if a cow craps over here, it can precipitate kilometers in the air and then somehow go back down onto a Nature 2000 area. And then those damn nettles will grow up too high. And if, you know, if a dog pisses over here, the piss will magically go 3 kilometers over and fertilize this land over there. And then the nettles will grow up on this and they give those orchid shade. And therefore we need to bankrupt the Dutch farmers.
So the absurdity of their arguments were such that, did you cherry pick, or is this like the common, you know, the clips that they're using, the videos, the educational,
those are like the promo
PSA
videos? Yeah, so just to explain a little bit, so there's 6 NGOs that are really pushing the policy, and they're, looks like they're controlled by some bigger financial interests, and then they get the government to pay for the budget of the NGOs, and then they get the government to pay for 25, the people ultimately, both of these things, to pay for a 25 billion euro fund to buy out the farmers' land. And then when the NGOs, you know, advocate the policy, write the policy, give the talking points to the politicians to read. So they get the whole thing paid for by the people that, the farmers are paying taxes to have their own land stolen from them. They're paying into the fund that robs their own land. And then once their land is forcefully purchased, the NGOs then become the custodians of the land and in many cases put cows back on the land to manage it. So what looks like a very clever scheme by some oligarchs to basically...
And the oligarchs, the monarchy, are they going to eventually get... And in trust, it's all your serfs and it's ours again?
Well, I looked up the directors of the NGOs, and they... Two of them were former Chevron executives, which kind of sounds like Rockefeller Oil. And then there was three were big tech employees like Google Colin, Google Europe. That's ultimately BlackRock. Some say that's Rothschild. And then there was one local Dutch banking family, like one guy who worked at a banking family, used to work at a foundation from a Dutch banking family. So it looks like these international banking class type people. This is the only ones that
sounds like they, them, those, me.
Well, they're the ones
they're
who
not
have
leaving
the,
us alone.
The power to exert a policy through NGOs, government, media.
Wow. This is, you know, you got time to go at least another. We go all down. This is interesting. We haven't even got to the goody-goody yet.
I can get 20 more minutes.
Yeah. We'll be right back with James Patrick, you know, and the film is Nitrogen 2000, The Dutch Farmer's Struggle. He's also had the Planet Lockdown, and for his next film, the next film, the film after that, and some of the films, and we're friends with one of the producers here and on the films, and it's bigpicture.watch. You know, you want to see this kind of stuff happening. You know, we just this last weekend, we went and saw a lot of friends up here, and Donna and I went, and we saw Sound of Freedom, and it's just one of those kind of movements and films and information that needs to get out, and individuals crowdsourcing, people buying tickets, paying it forward, wanting to make sure it's up to us. It's up to us. You have to do it in your own community. I mean, it's up to you to take care of you, your family, your community. You know, it's up to you. And somebody else isn't going to do it for you. You know, and James Patrick can only do so much on his own. I mean, it's you got to. And how he did Planet Lockdown, I remember when he was making it, he was releasing individual interviews and portions of it to help bring awareness and fund the completion of the film. I mean, this is how it's going to be, because corporations and Disney ain't doing it. Okay, I'm just telling you, and it's going to be up to you. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. You can do it on your own. You just go, I declare my independence. You don't even need a government form. Well, we're talking, we're continuing the conversation. We're going to go a little longer with James Patrick. James Patrick, you can go check out his work at bigpicture.watch and also donate to keep these kinds of films coming, because he did Planet Lockdown, which is on the lockdown of the plandemic, you know, and the scamdemic, the whatever-demic. And they're not stopping. I mean, they're going to come up with another. There we got another one planned, and I tell you what was interesting, as adamant as they were about vaccination, we're all going to die. As soon as the conflict in Ukraine happened, man, they pivoted in like a day. It was like, boom, that's not a problem anymore. Well, we're shifting from your mask to putting, maybe a day we'll have a mask with a Ukraine flag on it, and then we just do away with the mask. You just have the Ukraine, you know, tattooed flag on your forehead. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
right. Yeah, like right within a week.
It was amazing. Wow, this is
shut Operation One, initiate Operation Two. You know, it's
yeah. Did you notice that too?
Yeah, it was within 3 days. They're like, okay, COVID's over. Now we got this engineered war in Ukraine.
It was of interest. Well, the one thing that I wanted to make sure that we got into is the solutions. You know, we haven't really talked about solutions. Awareness, of course, like that's one of the things that, you know, what made Sound of Freedom get a lot of attention. Mel Gibson came out and goes, hey, man, the first thing is awareness. You guys need to know what's up. And, you know, so it's the same kind of thing with the work that you're doing. We need awareness. You know, Holland is a itty bitty little tiny spot across the channel from Great Britain, just to the east of it, and where it lands, you know, like Normandy, you know, it's France, and you just keep going northeast on the coast, boom, you're Holland. And Holland's not that big. I mean, it's the size of one of our smallest states. I mean, it's teeny tiny, but they have a lot of cleared land that they've done over the generations and hundreds of years ago, and they mass produce food and a lot of dairy and cattle and so on, and which is, it was a perfect neon flashing example of what they needed to get. They and those need to get rid of it. It's going to be a food thing. It already is starting to be. Well, in the United States, I'm old enough. You know, I was born in 61, graduated high school 79. I'm 62 years old. Kind of gives you my generation. But I remember in the late 70s where the Carter administration was, we're going to feed the world. You know, screw the Soviet bloc and the Cold War of, we're America and we're going to be the breadbasket of, and everybody, you know, we're going to give you special programs to get the farmers in debt. You got to buy the new combine. You got to get the new John Deere of whatever. You got to get indebted, you know, a gazillion dollars to the bank and we're going to give you loans and kind of, yeah, here we go. Then they changed policies, different subsidies. They extracted, pulled, yanked around with the farmers to where they started going bankrupt. And this is why you remember later in the 80s and so on, they had, you know, Farm Aid. Willie Nelson's out raising money for farms, trying to save the farms, and they're going to the debt of the farms. Well, what happened? It was a conscious effort. It was, you know, all of a sudden you can't afford it anymore, and Arthur Daniel Midland bought it, you know. Mm-hmm. Then Arthur Daniel Midland, you know, starts subsidizing media, you know, they're brought to you by Arthur Daniel Midland that, you know, is taking all the farms. I mean, so this, you could see it. It was an attack on the farmers, ranchers. The ranchers, not allowed to have this, what the Bundy Ranch stuff was all about. You know, the mm-hmm. thing that was going on in Oregon, Lavoie Finicum's murder. I mean, all of this stuff was them getting you off the land with new introduced, so gray wolf this, bear that. Whatever it is, they want to be in control of you, ultimately, you know, the planet, the land. Now, the beginning of America, James Corbin and I did, you know, last week a show on this particular issue, was Thomas Jefferson made a big deal out of the yeoman farmer. That's who he saw as the core of America, the person that is closest to the land. They get their knees and hands, you know, in the dirt. They're getting well grounded. It's healthier. You know, they're more participatory in their own sustenance, and they're creating their own food, their own communities. They had a distrust of any collective, any, you know, shiny badge, any crown, anybody was going to tell them what to do. So he really had the individual, and certainly the farmer in mind, which is, he's right. That is the core of our sustainability, our ability to exist, to educate our own children, to be responsible, you know, for our own nutrition. You know, medicine is food and food is medicine. I mean, this concept is not new. This has been around for millennia, and sure as heck, it's the beginning of America. So the idea of America is not lost on the rest of the planet. Sooner or later, when you have these kinds of things happen, you start doing some research, you start doing some reading. That happened with James Patrick. You started going into Austrian economics, and you're getting your PhD and whatever, and kind of, you know, and I'm learning to find myself on, and all of a sudden, you can see why it's going to be a food thing, you know. So tell us about that transition into your studies, because you were primarily, your day job was real estate development or real estate doing stuff, as I remember, and, you know, all of a sudden, you're finding out the same thing that we are with this Occupy the Land thing. Oh, you thought you were going to be able to do what you wanted. No. We got a permit for that, you know, and we're denying it. In Arizona, all building permits are stopped as of last week in Maricopa County. If you are on a well or you count on well water, you cannot build a home. And one thing in the last several years that a lot of the activists, yeah, we were thinking about this, we're going, you know, a lot of the best activists, a lot of the principled people, they grew up on well water. They weren't being fluoridated. They weren't being municipal, you know, 30s Germany, this is your new water system on the, you know, municipal water supply we inject. And I've done stuff on fluoridation. It's a waste product that they use our kidneys as their dilution. The solution to pollution is dilution in your kidneys. I mean, you know, this is, they actually pay for the injection of being able to dump the fluoride into the system in Arizona. I'm like, what the crap? This is on purpose. That's when we started looking at people that were raised on well water, do they think differently? Do they have more resistance? Yes, in my opinion. So your transition into learning more about Austrian economics, you're educating yourself in different disciplines. What brought that on?
The Dutch farmer film?
No. Your discipline in economics. You want to get a degree in that. You're starting to study, you know, other things that you went through university. You've had your profession that you were doing before, but now you're, you know, starting to expand your capabilities and other education. I just wonder what motivated that.
Yeah, I guess being from D.C., I was always like, I was kind of a, I guess I was a little spoiled, and then kind of was always like, what was going on? What's behind this? I didn't like authority. So I kind of was like trying to figure out who's really behind everything. And then I was, that led me to
truth seeker you?
And that led me to the central banks really seem more like the guys calling the shots than the president or something. So I was looking around for explanations of how the central banks work, and then found like Murray Rothbard's book, The Case Against the Fed, and then started reading, you know, Mises and Hoppe and stuff like that. So I think it was really, that's how I found my way to the Austrian school. I do think they are a little bit short-sighted in that they think that if something's private, it's just always just by virtue, okay. When I think people can kill others with their own private property, it's not like there's still ethics and values. So the Austrian literature isn't totally clean. Like, I mean, Rothbard, I think, was really clear in natural rights, natural law. Mises makes fun of Christianity and the whole idea of natural law in his book Theory and History. So he's showing some biases. Hoppe has some short sights too, I think, in different areas. He interjects a lot of weird evolutionary biology stuff, which really isn't his field. And
yeah,
so
I'm a fan.
The Austrians tend to be like cranks, is in my view. They're a little bit like, oh, if it's private, it's perfect. And you're like, well, now we see all the private companies suppressing us, and like, they're using
the government help. You know?
They're using the government for doing the real dirty work, the killing and the maiming, and the government definitely is the main tool
to exploit
us. But it's not to say there is a broader issue of like what our values and what kind of society we want, and I think if trashy, tasteless, homicidal people grow to own everything, you do see, you know, we still need a peasant's revolt to correct that.
Well, it's called the free market. Whenever you have, you know, you create these big industries, well, they always want to protect their monopoly. You got to have a permit to compete. You're not allowed to
whatever. I'm just saying
whatever. They
can achieve similar things, not quite as effective and totalitarian on the free market too. So it's just because having a free market is a very important thing that we need to get done, but it's not going to solve all the solutions, is my point.
Yeah.
So there's sort of this atheistic, misanthropic, hands-off trend in the libertarian movement, Austrian economics community, that's a little bit like, we still need to talk about what are morality and what is morality, what are values, what are truths.
Yeah, I think we in the 90s as activists, the cut even amongst libertarian party types, they would go and say, "You Rothbardian, you're just a Rothbardian," as if it was a bad thing. You know, we're sitting there going, "Yeah, and your point." I go, "What the hell were they talking about?" As we go in, they were looking for the brass ring, it's their turn. The libertarian, now you can't turn on the TV without some politician or news commentator saying how libertarian they are. You know, libertarian, libertarian, libertarian. And, but to me, that's why the show is called Declare Your Independence, because it was what had the most impact on me as an individual. Young man going, all right, late 80s, I'm like, what the heck is going on? I came across a bunch of corruption and long story. But I said, well, we'll start at the beginning. Read Declaration of Independence, Constitution, Bill of Rights. Constitution, not a big giant fan of. It's just another, you know, the crown. I mean, it's just another way they're going to rule me, you know, and, you know, how we're going to do it. And then the Bill of Rights is that, oh, the ten thou shalt nots of government, you know, and you're not going to do this, this, this. Oh, okay, so that, you put those together, you know, we can tolerate that. But the Declaration of Independence was, you know, they had the Articles of Confederation after the Revolution. You know, the decade, they held nine presidents before even George Washington, you know, started with the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the Declaration of Independence, the sentiment there was, the purpose of government is the defense of the rights of the individual. I mean, if it doesn't do that, it's time to alter, abolish. It's your right. It's your duty.
Mm-hmm.
So that concept, that the whole reason you have a government is to defend individual rights, well, sign me up, man. I'm good for that.
Yeah.
You know, I raise my hand. I got to vote. I vote for that. You know?
But it is. I mean, Hoppe points out, it is sort of contradictory that the only institution we designated to protect property is the only one that can steal it.
Right.
Legally. And then the only
monopoly on force, but then they had the Second Amendment. See, that was one thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You go to Europe and the Dutch farmers, they're going, damn, I wish we had a Second Amendment. Yeah, can you ship us some ARs? I mean, you know, what's their mindset on actual revolutionary capability, defense, gun rights? Is that a thing in Holland?
No. I mean, in all of Western Europe,
block traffic.
Yeah, in all Western Europe after World War II, they stripped the guns from people or heavily restricted them.
So after tyrannical governments caused mayhem all across the world, and certainly in Europe, after World War II, they chose to disarm the people. Well, I don't know what to say to that. Other than, you know, in America, at least we have a lot of justification, a lot of argument, a lot of examples, and it's in our Constitution that you have the right to arm yourself in defense of yourself, your body, your family, your community, your freedom. So is this going to be a resurrection of this philosophy throughout the world? Is it going to happen in Europe? Is there going to be a Second Amendment advocacy in various different countries or at the European Union? I wouldn't hold my breath. So this is very interesting to see that the Dutch farmers and a lot of people throughout Europe are resisting. But in what way? How can you resist? Are you able to not be tracked? You know, not pay your taxes, not comply, resist, you know, and to what extent and how. So it seems that around the world, and they'll get to America sooner or later, already are, but to take away your real property rights, your right to land. And that's one thing I think we'll get more into in the final segment with James Patrick, is that the Dutch were all about property rights. They were worldwide renowned merchants. The Dutch East India Company, Amsterdam was a center of trade. And a lot of people don't know that the Netherlands, they had an enormous amount of the United States debt. They lent more money to us until, I think it was Japan and Germany started getting involved. But it's a small little country that understands that their land's being taken away and they're resisting. What shall become of this? I don't know. And I am concerned because this is the rhetoric is going about a couple hundred thousand cattle they want to euthanize in Ireland. You know, Trudeau in Canada is going, oh, yeah, we got to, you know, dismantle the farms, the ranches, you know, replace cows with crickets or whatever. And then, of course, some of the rhetoric here in the United States. So this is not an isolated incident. This is popping up everywhere. And certainly with the World Economic Forum, Bilderberger, Trilateral, all the conspiracy secret handshake clubs that want to explain it to you, you know, yeah, we're going to have to pay closer attention to this. And this is why, you know, just at a fundamental base level, I understood that the one thing that those won't leave us alone, doesn't want is us self-sustaining and on our own property, our own land, raising our own food, taking care of our own water, educating our own children, being supportive of our own community. This doesn't work into their agenda. This is not part of their plan. So I just want to make sure as we do more shows, we're going to start focusing more on this. I've been doing this for, God, since 03, I had 20 years. You know, so for 20 years, we've been talking on there, and it all points to this. You'll own nothing, and you'll be happy, or your social credit score will suffer. And there are many methods to social and economic engineering. It's a psychological thing, and we've been exposed to these kinds of experiments here in America since for as long as I can remember. Yeah, this has been very interesting for me to see the social and economic engineering to get what? To create a better something? Or to maintain and enhance and expand control over many people by few. If you want to see the future, it was, you know, told to me one time years ago by an old lawyer friend of mine, and he said, if you want to see the future, you look at what's being subsidized. You see what's rewarded. Then you look at what's being punished. You get more of one and less of another. So if you have productivity and ingenuity and resourcefulness and savings and increased income, you know, all of a sudden you have progressive income tax that punishes that. You have people that want to open businesses, that want to be entrepreneurial, they want to make use of the land. All that's punished. What is rewarded sloth and inactivity and dependence and disability. You know, a lot of the things that meritocracy and Yankee know-how America can-do-ism overcomes. The incentives to do that are being taken away. And the incentives for you to sit on your butt in your grandma's basement playing video games looking for your next universal basic income check, you know, are there. And it's just sad to watch happen because it doesn't end well. We'll go ahead and check in for the final segment with James Patrick on how this is being confronted in the Netherlands. I think it's of interest. We'll finish this right up.
Remember what you were doing 4 years ago at this very moment, and how much everything changed a year later. We don't live just anywhere. We live on a crowded island with daily news headlines that make our ancestors spin in their graves. And we all know that tougher days lie ahead. So the real question is, do you have a proper supply of emergency food on hand? If not, now's the time to get some, while things are still relatively calm. The company most Americans choose is My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to get yourself a one-week supply of emergency food. It comes in a nifty ammo can that's loaded with delicious meals you'll love. No skimping with these meals, as you'll get 2,000 calories per day. You'll like the special $30 savings available this week only on this one-week supply of emergency food, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.